Thanks for clicking on our podcast. This is John Fraser, and with my partner in wine down in the Cape, Michael Olivier, each week we taste the very best that the Cape has to offer in wines or spirits, whatever tickles our fancy, and hopefully it'll tickle yours as well. Welcome back to Divine Intervention, and this week we are heading into an area which is an area of indulgence and delight for me. It's a fortified wine, it's a port, and believe it or not, it is South African, and I can call it a port. We will explore that later, but before we do, let's explore who we've got down in the Cape waiting to talk us through this. He is, of course, Eat Out's Lifetime Achievement Award winner for his services to the world of gastronomy, or gluttony as I called it the other week, Michael Olivier. Michael, great to chat to you again.
Thanks, John. Nice to be with you.
Well, thanks for arranging this tasting and a port from Cullitsdorp. That should be fun. But before we go into the port, let's go into the guests. For the fourth week in a row, and don't worry, we won't let him in next time, restaurateur from Prosopa and Al Dente restaurants in Waterkloof in Pretoria, Dino Fagus. Dino, great to have you back.
Thank you, John. I hope I haven't overstayed my welcome.
Not at all, and I hope you're going to enjoy the port. But passing from the port to our next guest, we have public relations consultant. He worked a while for the Afrikaans Press as a trade writer, as an IT writer, and then as an auto writer. He worked for a while for South Africa's leading auto brand in terms of sales, and some would say in terms of quality as well, Toyota. He is, of course, the incomparable Leo Kok. Leo, great to see you again.
Thanks to be here. Nice to be here. Thank you, John.
And thanks a lot for moving into English. I is very grateful.
After a couple of sips, I might struggle with it, but for now, I'll try my best.
Okay, well, let's find out what we're tasting. Michael, tell us about the De Krantz Cullitsdorp 2010, the last Cape Vintage Reserve Port. What does all that mean?
Well, the last Cape Port means that it was bottled before the end of 2011, which is a deadline agreed on between the South African government and the EU, where after which date we were not allowed to use the word port anymore. So what's tended to happen is that people have started using phrases like Cape Ruby, Cape Tawny, and Cape Vintage. So here you have De Krantz bringing in the Cape Vintage part. Reserve would be sort of a couple of special barrels which they feel are sort of above the rest of them. To declare a vintage port, the style of the port is very different. It's usually a massive color, wonderful sort of fruit, spice. There's sort of tobacco there as well. It's a great big chunky mouthful of wine with good tannins and just a wine that will in fact last forever. So if you had a child who was born in 2010, I would seriously advise that you lay on a couple of bottles of these for the 21st birthday. My son Peter turned 26 last week, and I gave him a bottle of De Krantz port from the 1988 vintage, which was the year in which he was born, and we haven't opened it yet, but I'm sure it's going to be great. But this is a really, really lovely, lovely wine.
Well, I'm not sure any of us in the studio had any children born in 2010, at least none that we would acknowledge. Oh, of course, Dino, you've got the twins. When were they born?
The twins were born in 2007, but funny Michael should mention about putting away the port. I've bought a case of the 2007 for each of them, and as another case of the 2005 for my daughter to put away and keep until they're older.
And we'll just swig it away like typical teenagers and early 20-ish. Well, Michael, I have to say, I'm enjoying this. I am partial to a bit of port. I find this very elegant, very sophisticated, maybe a little laid back. It could be because we're drinking it possibly a little too cool. But it's it It's everything I enjoy in a port. My only problem with ports, Michael, and you'll know this as someone who's been in the restaurant profession, is you finish a meal and you ask for a port and they bring you something that probably wouldn't fit a sewing thimble, a tiny, tiny little glass. Now, I'm particularly if I'm at home and I'm not going to have to clamber into a vehicle afterwards, I want a good glug of port. Am I just being greedy and silly, or are restaurants being mean and nasty?
Well, I think it's a sort of a tradition thing, but I'm a great proponent of serving port and sherries and fortified wines in normal wine glasses, because you want to give it a bit of a swirl and you want to get your nose in there and pick out all the, I mean, this De Crance is just so packed with fruit, wonderful sort of prune plums and spice and tobacco. You want to get that. You want to see the legs running down the side of the glass even before you start putting it into your mouth.
You want to see the legs before you get legless, or while you're getting legless. Dino, your thoughts on this port? And we can call it port. I think we should all celebrate. Raise our glasses.
Cheers. John, I think I like Michael's idea. I'm going to, in fact, change over to doing that and serving port in wine glasses. I quite like the spice. I love the fact that it's not overly sweet, and also a lot of prunes on it that just go very very nicely.
Do you drink port often? I mean, is it something that you would naturally have after a meal, or is it a special occasion drink, or? What are your port habits?
I actually enjoy it, but for some reason, and I think the general public is the same, we forget. So if a waiter doesn't suggest it to the customer, it's not going to be asked for.
Leo Cock, your thoughts, first of all, on this particular port and on port drinking in general?
Yeah, this port is definitely very impressive. I pick up on the prunes and as Michael said as well, quite a bit of spices. Same with us. You'll never forget to order your glass of wine and bottle of wine, but the port becomes a bit of an afterthought. I would, with something like this, even make it my first port of call.
Your first port of call. I like it. I like it. And of course, Michael, we've probably discussed this before, but it's no bad thing to just recall the fact that, as you know, I lived in Belgium for a long time, and in Belgium it's quite common for people to have a port as an aperitif at the beginning of a meal, maybe even before they sit down. Yeah. And I've found I had a few bottles of sticky wine sitting in a cupboard somewhere at home that were just sitting there. And I don't tend to drink a fortified wine or a Noble Late Harvest or one of the stronger wines after a meal very often. But I found that they make a really, really wonderful drink at about 6:30 in the evening when I've got home, when I'm relaxing. They go down extremely well. You're sober enough to appreciate the complexity. Yeah. And as you well know, we in South Africa have such a range of really, really impressive stuff. But one other thing I just wanted to check up on, Michael. I know that a few weeks back you were running a sherry competition.
Yes.
Except it was South African sherry, so you couldn't call it sherry. You were using some rather funny names.
Well, I think the sherry thing is exactly the same as the port thing. Sherry comes from Jerez in Spain, and that's it. The local sherry producers, Douglas Green and Moniz and KWV, tend now to talk about their wines as pale dry, medium cream, full cream. Douglas Green numbers theirs 1 to 3. You know, that's just the way it is. Then they put traditional floor on the labels. I think one of the big problems that we have here is that we haven't found an alternative name for sherry, and we haven't found an alternative name for port.
Well, we must think of a competition soon, Michael. Maybe we can arrange some producers in those industries to donate a case or two, or steal the one from Dino's children as a special prize. But Dino, just going back to that, I mean, you have people ordering sparkling wine in your restaurant on a daily basis, asking for ports and sherries and all sorts of stuff. Has the South African diner consumer public adapted to these new names, or do we still use champagne, port and sherry, even if we're describing the local product, which the Eurocrats would love to shoot you if you use the traditional European names?
I think people are learning about the difference between champagne, MCC and sparkling wine. I think on port and sherry, definitely not. They still use the traditional names.
Leo, I don't want to get linguistic with you, and I'm not even sure I could conjure up the Afrikaans names for all of these, but amongst your friends and family, has this diktat by the Eurocrats been widely enforced, or is it something that our politicians have agreed to, but maybe the people aren't too happy about?
It's interesting. I think the word for champagne, being Fonkelwein, rolls easily off the tongue. So that's being used quite regularly. But for the rest, it's definitely still port and sherry. It's definitely, and hence I think it's wonderful to have this as being one of the last ports. So we could celebrate the fact that we could call it that.
Well,
definitely buy a case or two.
And Michael, of course, this is a lovely port bottle. It does, to me, really represent the traditional ports from Portugal. That's a good thing. Nothing wrong with that. Even if we change the name, I don't see why we should change the style of the bottle or the style of the lettering on it. But tell me about Kalitsdorp. Why do I naturally associate Kalitsdorp with port?
Well, they call themselves the port capital of the world, and a number of our sort of more visible port producers are there. Recently, they had their annual Kalitsdorp Port Festival, and that's the way they promote themselves on the sort of the wine scene.
And South African ports, and how does it rack up? For me, this is an absolutely superb drink. I don't really feel the need to go and search out anything from Portugal itself. But because after all, we have been making port almost as long as many Portuguese producers, haven't we?
Absolutely. And you know, more and more of our local producers are planting the sort of classical port varieties. This one that we're talking about now is Tinta Barroca, Touriga Nacional, and Sousal. And then you've got people like the Nels of Boerplas, who are making really great dry wines from the port varieties.
Do you know, is the after-dinner drink, with all our drink drive laws and our health Nazis and everybody telling us that we're really not meant to enjoy ourselves too much in life, are you finding that in decline a bit? Are you finding that people may go out, have a reasonable meal, have a few glasses of wine, and then drive home sober and maybe have a glass when they get home?
It's definitely affecting the habits of people in terms of what they drink and how they drink it. It's not necessarily a good thing for us, but also in considering your clients and their health, I think it is.
And of course, if you were to live in London or New York, you would think nothing about taking the subway or public transport, going to a nice restaurant and going home with public transport. For the more affluent South African, maybe there are some taxis and there are some initiatives to drive you home after an evening. It's getting better, but we're not there yet, are we?
It's actually a lot better, because I renewed some insurances the other day and I was informed by my broker that I do have that available as part of my policy to be driven home.
Okay, well, we will have to make a date somewhere. Lots of food, lots of wine,
and lots of port.
And somebody else can crash the car on the way home. Leo, your thoughts on that? We are becoming a little bit more Puritan. Maybe this is a good thing in so many ways, but in some ways the enjoyment is being sapped out of a good night out.
Absolutely, and as you said, port's often left to last, so by the time you start thinking of this, it's perhaps too late and your wife starts warning you that you're well over the limit. For me, I see some changes. We, as you said, the brokers, my banker recently informed me that I can also be driven home. So henceforth, I'll definitely be using making use of some fortified wines after dinner.
Excellent. Well, I will certainly drink to that as well. And Michael Olivier, what are the port producers doing to convince us, the South African port wannabes, not wannabes, but not allowed to bees. What are they doing to convince us that this is an excellent product which we should drink more of?
Well, I think they certainly are patenting the product. I think the Cape Port Producers Association need now to sit down and to change, first of all, the name of their association, and then to decide on what they're going to call their wines. And, I think they do a fairly good job punting the wines of Carlisle and others who produce these wine styles as well.
Well, unfortunately, once again, we're out of time, but many, many thanks to our tasting panel this evening, in particular to Michael Olivier down in Cape Town, who's been talking us through these, our food and wine guru. Michael, once again, all I can say is thank you very, very much indeed for coming up with something really wonderful to taste, and I can't wait for next week.
John, thanks so much. It's been lovely being with you and with the chaps up there too.
Okay, well, chaps, unfortunately, it's time for us to weave our way erratically through the traffic. But before we go, many, many thanks for coming to join us for the fourth week in a row to Waterkloof restaurateur from Pretoria, from Prosopa and Al Dente, Dino Fergus. Dino, you've been a star. Great to chat to you.
Always nice to be here, John. Thank you.
And your first outing on Divine Intervention, but hopefully we'll get you back very, very soon. Leo Koch, great to chat to you as well.
Why don't you, John?
I'm John Fraser. That was Divine Intervention.